stores have traded out jack-o'-lanterns and scary masks for Santa decorations and snowflake-covered wrapping paper, the holiday season is upon us. For some, it's a time of joy and family. For others, it's a time of worry and stress. Today on Talk of Alaska, we're talking about ways to support our communities during the holidays and throughout the year with food, shelter, companionship, and other needs.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
Wells Fargo, with over 13,000 ATMs and more than 6,000 branches coast to coast. For a branch location near you, visit wellsfargo.com.
It's the time of year for people on Medicare to consider changes to their current Medicare prescription drug coverage. Plan designs can change, and new plans may be available, so it's important for you to do an annual review of your plan. Open enrollment for Medicare Part D has started and will last until December the 7th. Learn more at medicare.alaska.gov or Alaska's Medicare Information Office at 800-478-6065. This message sponsored by Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and this station.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
This is Talk of Alaska. I'm Ann Hillman. Today, we're talking about supporting community members during the holiday season and beyond. One of my guests today is Jim Baldwin. He's the CEO of the Food Bank of Alaska. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning, Ann.
But mostly, we want to hear from all of you. This is a time for community. So how do you support your community? How do others jump in? What are your ideas for helping people around the holidays? What does your family do or your organization? Share your ideas by calling us at 1-800-478-8255 statewide or 550-8422 in Anchorage. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. Again, that number is 1-800-478-8255 statewide. Let us know what you're up to this holiday season to help others. So, Jim.
Yes.
What exactly is the Food Bank of Alaska?
Well, the Food Bank of Alaska is the kind of the clearinghouse. We are the collection and storehouse of donated food throughout the state of Alaska. We go out in the community. We collect food from all of the grocery retailers, store it, and then make it available to our network of nonprofit agencies that then distribute it to clients in need.
And just clients in need, like on the road system, beyond the road system?
Well, primarily, you know, with the populations being in Anchorage and the Valley, those are the main parts that we serve. But we have about 80 partner agencies just in Anchorage. We have another 20 partner agencies out in the Valley and another 100 spread out throughout the state.
So when you say partner agencies, you're like, I mean, yeah. I hear about food pantries at churches like Catholic
right.
Social Services and Lutheran Social Services. What other partner agencies do you have?
Yeah, so Beans Cafe, Brother Francis, church pantries. Let's see, there's just a number of them. I can't even begin to list all of them, but we have them spread out all throughout Anchorage and the Valley. Out in the Valley, people are probably most familiar with Frontline Mission, the Matsu Food Bank out there. We've got them all the way up to Talkeetna and Palmer, Big Lake.
And so they help you distribute the food?
Correct. So they usually will get food from us, come to our warehouse, pick up food, take it back, whatever they feel like they can distribute, and pass it out to people in need. And when we say people in need, we're really, the technical term is food insecurity.
Okay.
And food insecurity really means people that struggle putting enough food on their table. So if somebody's experiencing food insecurity, that means they don't have they lack the resources to put enough for a healthy meal on their table.
And so when we're talking food insecurity in Alaska, how many people is that?
Right. So in Alaska, there's about 1 in 7 individuals experience food insecurity in the year. So that's a little over 100,000 individuals throughout our state that just struggle day to day putting enough food on their table.
And that's adults, kids, everybody?
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of folks, when they think of poverty, low income, food needs, you know, it's the obvious, the more visible ones are homeless people that you see on the streets and stuff. But, you know, in reality, a vast majority of the individuals that rely on food assistance are actually working. A lot of them are working, but they're not working high enough paid jobs. They have bills that come along, emergencies come along, and they just struggle with putting enough food on their table.
I've often been told that when need rises, often, like if people don't have enough money to pay for heat or utilities, they can instead go to a food bank, get food, and then divert that money where there's less outside resources.
Correct. You know, I think that's the other thing. Our primary mission is to make sure that no one in our state goes hungry. But we realize that by providing that additional food assistance, then it frees up their resources to pay those other bills that they really don't have a choice. They've got to pay those bills. And that's the unfortunate thing is when those tough times come along, often people will forego food because they got to pay bills. That's easier, if you will, to give up food to pay their electric, to pay their rent, their mortgage, whatever. And that's what we're here for, to make sure that they still get food assistance and they can meet those other needs.
Do you feel like people are aware of that this resources is out there and that there's food pantries and ways that people can access food?
We think we do a pretty good job, but I know that there's a lot of pockets throughout the community that probably aren't aware of. And so if you know somebody that needs food, go on our website, you know, check us out, check out where to get food assistance in your community, refer your friends, your neighbors that you might be aware of that need help.
Is there a way to do that? You know, certain asking for help is sometimes stigmatized, unfortunately.
Yep.
And admitting that you need help getting by, it's not easy.
No.
Is there advice that you give to people who maybe do see people in need and want to direct them towards help?
Yeah, I don't think there's any thing. I think, you know, we have such a caring community. When you don't ask for help, you're depriving the others of helping you, of that joy and being able to help. You know, I think, you know, the pride issue, and when our pride gets in the way and we don't seek help, we're not only hurting ourselves by not asking for help, but we're depriving somebody else from that opportunity and responsibility to help.
Well, that's interesting. I've never heard it. I've never heard it framed that way. Before we take our first caller, you said that there's a list of resources on your website. What is your website?
It's foodbankofalaska.org.
All right. Pretty straightforward. Kelly from Chugiak, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, so I just wanted to share, you were asking how community members participate and support other members of our community. And the Glacier Brew House Orso restaurants are participating in the Brewers Guild of Alaska is conducting a food drive right now to benefit Food Bank of Alaska. And so what Glacier Brew House and Orso restaurant would like to do is offer a complimentary appetizer for those that bring in items to benefit the food bank. We would like to know and just ensure that you guys, you have collection barrels, correct, for us to be able to put out there?
That's correct. We do.
Okay, super. So if I can come by and grab one, we're gonna kick this off and help to fill up the pantry.
Well, thank you. When will you start doing this? And
we're gonna start it here at the end of the week. So if folks want to watch our Facebook page. We're going to be launching all of the social media on the Glacier Brew House and Orso Facebook and Instagram pages. And then as soon as we get the barrel, we'll get it rolling. And we're handing out those complimentary appetizer cards. It'll be good for each table that comes in. We'll get a complimentary appetizer. So come on in and help us to help you.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly, for letting us know what you're doing to help the food bank.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
So, Jim, in food barrels such as that, like, what sorts of things do you all need?
Well, obviously, the first and foremost thing is nutritious food. Mm-hmm. So think about what's nutritious, but also think about what is shelf stable, you know, good shelf stable items, non-perishables. We do collect and distribute perishable items, but when it comes to donating, people dropping off or putting barrels, we don't want any perishable items in there. But canned proteins, canned fruits, canned vegetables, those are always, peanut butter is always a huge good source of protein, shelf stable. All kinds of canned items. We just really want to provide good, healthy, nutritious food, but in any form. Cereal is another really hot item that we just can't get enough of it.
What about things like dried beans and rice?
Absolutely. Yeah, those are very versatile. They can make a lot of different things, a lot of different recipes, you know, can be used with those.
What about things, I know that you're focusing on healthy, but to make stuff more palatable. I mean, do you take spices? Do you take
that sort of thing? Oh, sure. Yeah, anything like that. It's always anything that you would want to prepare for your family. That would be great.
Excellent. I'd also like to invite to the program Lisa Aquino from Catholic Social Services. Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And hello. Hi, Ann. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Lisa.
Such a great show. Such a great show. Glad that we're talking about this.
Mm-hmm. So today's focus is talking about ways that organizations and people can help their community over the holiday season. So I was wondering, we've talked a bit about food drives and kind of a little bit about what Food Bank does. But Lisa, could you tell us what Catholic Social Services does specifically over the holidays, and then we'll kind of broaden it out?
Yeah, sure. So, well, first let me say that Catholic Social Services were strong partners with Food Bank of Alaska, and so proud to be partners with, and just they just do incredible work all over the state, and really grateful for the service they're doing. So over the holidays, and I think it's a time so that we can all think about the needs of people in their community, and in particular around food. I mean, if what doesn't bring us together, or what brings us together more than food, and thinking about Thanksgiving and why we all come together to share food together. And so it's a great time to remind all of us of the need for that. So at Catholic Social Services, one of the things that we have many programs, but one of them is a St. Francis House food pantry. And that's the largest food pantry in the state. So we're sort of the grocery store front for the food bank's food distribution, if you will, right? So we're the place where people can come in and they can shop and they can get an emergency supply of food. So families come in, they shop for their families. It's a way to kind of make ends meet in a month. And we distribute, on average, we're distributing about 2 tons of food every day that we're open. So it's a huge, huge service in the community. And the food that we're distributing, a good portion of it is food that we get from the food bank. We purchase food at a very, very reduced rate from the food bank, but then we also have donors who bring food to us. We have relationships with churches and businesses and organizations as well, and they bring food to us, and we purchase food with donations from people in the public. And we have really strong relationships with particular businesses in town that offer us really good rates on that food. And the food that we are always looking for and that we could use as donations and that we think about is fresh food and protein. So in addition to the shelf-stable food, which is so critical to a family's needs and getting through a whole month, something that can last for a long time. We also distribute fruits and vegetables and meat and fish. So to be able to have those kinds of donations is also really important. So we purchase that. And so that's one way that we're distributing food in Anchorage. We also have volunteers that make dinner at Clare House every night of the year, and they bring that in for moms and kids experiencing homelessness. And Providence Hospital donates dinner every night of the year at Brother Francis Shelter. So there's organizations in town and there's individuals who are making food insecurity less of a burden on our community, but it's something that's so important.
And this is a question for both of you. It's people always think, okay, it's the holidays, let's donate food. Do you get a lot more donations over the season? Do you need more donations over the season?
Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jim. We do. So at Catholic Social Services, we do get a lot of donations over the holidays. I think it's a time when we all remember our community, and you can go to our website and see ways that you can connect, like Thanksgiving Blessing, which is something that we partner with a lot of organizations in the community and churches. But we need donations all year round, and food. Food donations are critical all year round. So we get a lot of donations at this time of the year, and there's great need at this time of the year. It's winter. There's increased challenges in terms of trying to sort of keep your household afloat with higher utility bills and other kinds of things that are happening. But, you know, I think that sometimes people forget that people are hungry and all throughout the year, and so even in the summer and at different times of the year, food is really important. And you can go to our website and you can see wish lists for the food pantry and see what individuals are looking for. And yeah, I'll turn over to Jim. I'm sure he has good insight into that too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think you hit it, Lisa. There's so much need throughout the year, and during the holidays, that's when it just is in people's forefront because they're making plans, they're gathering with family. And, you know, I'm just reminded of, you know, my memories growing up and Thanksgiving dinners and everything else. It's time to gather. Can you imagine being an individual, a family, where you don't have that? Because so much is everything we do, all of our socialization, our relationship building is always around food. I mean, when you get together with friends, families, you celebrate events and everything else, food is such an important component. And I think it's just the heightened awareness at this time of year where people are thinking about what they're doing. And so they want to give back and make a joyous, you know, holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas time for families. And just trying to imagine, you know, sharing memories about getting together. I remember we used to always get together at my aunt's farm, you know, in Illinois, and every Thanksgiving, I just have really fond memories of that. But turn it around and think of individuals that maybe don't have those memories. Mm-hmm. And if we can provide that time where people can gather around, share, reconnect, and everything else around food. Food is such a social issue.
To all of our listeners out there, in what ways do you share food in your community over the holidays and throughout the year? In what ways do you share other types of companionship? Let others around the state know your ideas. Maybe they can build from them. Or just share stories of your own remembrances. You can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. It's 1-800-478-8255. Or 550-8422 here in Anchorage. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. So people have all of these wonderful, fond memories, then sometimes painful memories around the holidays. Are there other ways that people can give back other than just by giving food? Are there other things that Catholic Social Services does or the food bank does that provides other sorts of support?
Right. Well, I think that's the thing is I think one of the things that, you know, I appreciate, you know, Lisa's comment and the great partnership with all the different organizations. We have a wonderful network of organizations out there from pantries to housing to healthcare support, all kinds of resources. One of the key resources in our community is the 211. If you dial 211, you can get connected with resources in your community, whatever your needs might be. It could be clothing. It could be housing. It could be food. It could be a lot of different things. You know, I think that's the complexity. We have such a wonderful network of nonprofit organizations seeking to help individuals any way they can. And so you were asking, how can other people help? You know, volunteering, you know, connecting, whether it's with the Food Bank of Alaska or a pantry in your community, with your church or wherever, community groups, you know, Rotary Club, Elks, whatever, whoever you like to connect with, other clubs out there, get them involved in a volunteering opportunity.
Lisa?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that just to say, you know, at St. Francis House, we have volunteer shoppers every day that we're open. And our volunteer shoppers, I mean, they do so much to make the food pantry work. The food pantry began because neighbors wanted to help neighbors after the big earthquake. And you see that spirit continue. Like if you want to connect and you want to meet and talk with someone, a great way to do it is to volunteer at the food pantry and become a personal shopper or find another volunteer opportunity. There's so many great organizations in the community.
If people are feeling lonely at this time of the year, what sorts of opportunities do they have for building community connections? Like if they're feeling lonely, but like they don't necessarily feel like they can volunteer, are there places that people can come and have meals together?
What a wonderful idea, Anne. That is really, it's funny, that's something that I've been asking internally for us to put together a list of places that you can go and join in at Thanksgiving. I know that there's a number of churches across the city that offer community Thanksgiving meals that people can come in and join just to get to gain that sense of community. And we try to hold events like that at our places, but it's also a very busy time when there's so many new people coming in because of the cold weather. So I'm gonna work on that, Anne, because you inspired me again. So I'm gonna we're gonna find a list that there might already be one out there, and but to find a list there, because there's so many organizations that do have gatherings that people can join and connect, and you can share a Thanksgiving meal. So that's if that could be for you, if you don't have, you don't economically, you just can't afford to have Thanksgiving, but it also just could be for you if you just want to share it and you don't want to do it by yourself at home, or you want to do it with your family somewhere else. There's so many great ways to connect. You know, I think Anchorage is so rich, and Alaska is so rich in community and community connections. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the news of the day might get us down, but let's all remember how connected we are here. We're far away from so many other parts of the world, but here we're close together and we help each other.
You know, one of the favorite stories that I've done over the past couple years was I was out up in Northwest Alaska, and I was talking to people about what's building strong communities and what's really helping people stay connected to each other, but also to their culture. And so many times conversations came up about how people, if they've gone out and they've gotten a caribou or they've gotten other food and they have extra, they just get on their VHF and they share and they say, hey, come over, I've got extra dinner. And it's just this sort of natural community network of building community around food and building community around being able to be there for each other, because it's not just the actual nourishment, it's the nourishment of knowing that someone cares enough to make sure that you're okay. And it's, if anybody else out there in this listening community has ideas or knows of places that that's happening in urban and rural Alaska, let us know. We're at 1-800-478-8255. Jim, you work a lot in rural Alaska, your organization does.
Correct.
What sorts of ways have you helped connect people and organizations and helped sustain people in their times of need?
Right. So, you know, throughout rural Alaska, you know, just the sheer geography, logistics of getting food out there can be a challenge. So we're, again, very fortunate to have so many supporters throughout the community, companies, businesses. One of the things I'd really like to just applaud both Mattson and Tote that donate containerized shipping for us from the lower 48 to bring food up. So they step up in a big way, as well as, you know, this isn't a commercial or anything else, but I think listeners need to understand that companies like Fred Meyer and Car Safeway and Walmart's are all donating product on a regular basis to help us get food in and get food out. So when you're talking about rural Alaska, one of the biggest challenges we have and we've come across is finding boots on the ground, if you will, individuals in that community that can be responsible. So if we're sending food out, we have to fly all the food out. We use bypass mail to ship it out. If we can get it into a community, we still need somebody on the ground to receive it, pass it out, make sure that it's getting to where it needs to go in that community. And we find that sometimes a struggle in the very small villages and communities. So that's where, you know, the challenge becomes is getting the food out. Our country doesn't have a shortage of food. We've got an abundance of food. Alaska's a little bit different because it's getting it up here in the first place. But, you know, I think, you know, once we know where the need is, we can acquire the food, but we need support in those communities to help provide that food to individuals.
And you've managed to recruit volunteers who can help you do that.
We have. And another shout out is to the AC stores that are all located throughout smaller communities, rural communities. They are donating from their stores in their communities. We were able to connect them with some community organizations. One of the things that every business doesn't want to do, they don't want to have waste. You know, every grocer, they would rather see their product that's not selling go to good use, so we can help them. The network, this network of organization helps them reduce their dump costs by not throwing away good food. You know, if we can help them on a business standpoint reduce their dump fees by donating what still is usable and consumable to community organizations, that's a win-win all the way around.
So I feel like what I hear is through both of you is that partnerships end up being sort of key to making this social safety net work.
Absolutely.
Lisa, are there partnerships that you see really strengthening the social safety net, especially during the holidays, that Catholic Social Services is part of?
Oh, absolutely. When I think about the food pantry, we also have close corporate partners that help us so much, and I have to call out Costco. They're incredible, and they donate directly to us and to the food bank, and we share with other food pantries. They're an incredible partner. Sagaya, DiTomasino, so many at La Roma Bakery, so many other bakeries, really, really incredible corporate partners and great businesses in the community sharing. But I also want to call out partnerships. Like, we have a partnership with the MAST program and with the ACE Act program at the school district.
I don't know what those are.
So the MAST program is a mature adult training program to provide a place where seniors can get retrained in different job skills. So we have people come in and they get retrained, they get work with us, they do a lot of our computer entry, learning programming, learning different kinds of things that will help them and that also help the community so much. The ACE Act program at the school district, it offers opportunities for youth at the school who are in special programs, who are looking for job training, and they come to us and they work through our programs. I mean, I think there's so many examples of people working together for this greater community cause to help each other. And I think that, and so there's a lot of examples of this, and I just think of the individuals that I meet, the people that I meet who have come in and used our pantry. And then I've met many of them later, and maybe they're still using the pantry, but many aren't. That was just something that they were experiencing an extreme challenge, and they needed some short-term help. And they've come back and they've volunteered with us. They make sure to always remember to bring at the holidays or whatever special time for them extra food that they have to share. Because, like you say, food is such a it's so much more than energy for the body. It's also energy for the soul.
You know, that's similar to stories that I heard through the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which is another organization that helps people in need, about folks who have gone to them for rental assistance, and then in the end, once they're back on their feet, they've given back so that that rental assistance can go forward a step. It's a cycle, it seems, that people in need end up then helping others in return.
That's right.
I'd like to go back to the phone lines. We have Susan from Bethel on the line. Susan, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, wonderful topic. Very timely this time of year. Mm-hmm. I'm with the Bethel Lions Club, and we do a seasonal winter shelter for the homeless. It's in partnership with one of the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we also got monthly food bank going. And it's through the help of many volunteers that make it possible. Because, again, like the one person mentioned, that takes people to help get it from the airport to our pantry, and it's been recently renovated and insulated with a lot of shelves,
mm-hmm.
and we've got such an awesome variety of food now, thanks to the food bank.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Wonderful. You guys are doing great work out there in Bethel. We appreciate the partnership.
Yeah, it's very busy work, and we always need volunteers to
exactly.
do different things. all throughout, but the monthly food bank, it's just 2-3 hours of hearing thank yous, and a great way to start the weekend. And just wanted to let people know, and any listeners from Bethel, our next food bank is the 17th of November from 10 till noon. So, and the winter shelter will be opening up in December.
Susan, can you tell us a few more details about the winter shelter and how it works?
It started because people froze to death, basically. It's a temporary solution and controversial. People think we're enabling, but the bottom line is, prior to having a shelter like that, and people worry about where do I go to stay warm, there's a sleep-off center, but you have to be intoxicated to go there. And there's people's houses, but some of their friends are drinking, and you get a chance of quality one-to-one with these people as individuals and see where they're coming from and what resources they may have that they're not aware of once you know their hometown or what brought them in their situation that they're in. We can start working with them. We are looking at grants for other solutions and ways of helping people find a housing, like a Housing First program, like in Anchorage. But for now, what it is they check in that evening and they leave that morning and they didn't freeze to death and they had a good meal and a supportive environment of people that love and care.
And it sounds like you're able to do more connecting in that one evening as well.
Yeah, it's a way to, you know, and it has its, you know, incidences and problems may come up, but the bottom line is it started because it's too heartbreaking to hear that people just freeze to death.
Susan, how,
you know, is... Right next to other places where there's warm, heated families and all that. It's like, this is wrong. It's not right. And Bethel's like a hub of 57 villages, so people do kind of come here for opportunities and all that, but sometimes they come here because they don't think they can go back home again, or they really can't connect with hunkering down with a job yet, mm-hmm. or housing.
How has being involved with that program affected you?
I think we learn. We learn. You listen and you learn. I'm retired from working at the jail. I learned a lot from working with inmates. You learn. You don't just lecture or think, okay, I just need to throw things at this person so they survive and live and all that. Get a dialogue going and listen and learn. We all have stories. We all had hard times maybe, and you can't just look at a person and judge them and think you've got them all figured out.
What advice would you give other people who want to learn from experiences that may be different from each other? Like, how do you help people learn to listen?
Oh, pardon?
How do you help people to learn to listen?
Just do it. Demonstrate it. Do it. You know, I don't know. I don't, you know. I think when people volunteer, the bottom line is you're volunteering. You're doing it. And sometimes there's no right or wrong way to do something. The fact that you're doing it and setting that example can be contagious to another person to come volunteer.
Nice. Thank you so much for calling in. Can you share again the details really quickly of the food bank in Bethel and also the shelter hours?
Well, Bethel currently has a monthly food bank, and it's currently the third Saturday of each month. Sometimes it's the fourth. We put signs and advertisements out if it's delayed to the next month. The next one is November 17th. Also, the different churches have partnered together to do what's called a supper club. So in the winter, and it's going on now, and every Friday there's a place to have dinner, and it's called the supper club. And that's at a church that's down the road from us.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the church, but it's just down the road across from the fire station, so everybody kind of sees it's on the main road.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's supper club, there's food bank, third Saturday of each month. There's the winter shelter now will be open in December.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other resources, too. There's places you can go to get clothes and winter gear. The women's shelter has a thrift store,
and
they often donate winter gear to people that don't have it.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think it's a caring, giving community, and right now Bethel Gives season is starting, and they'll be seeing things in November of opportunities to donate, and 11 entities partnership on that and benefit from that. So it is a very, you get out of Bethel what you put in, that's my saying. And a lot of people put in and share and volunteer and donate a lot.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for calling and for sharing. I really appreciate your insight and the info you can share with Bethel. We are going to take a quick break right now, and then we will be back with more of your ideas and suggestions on Talk of Alaska.
Today's program is underwritten in part by Matson, committed to the communities it serves, building on more than 50 years of service to the communities of Alaska. Learn more at Matson.com. Alaska Startup Week is November 12th through the 18th, featuring events in 9 communities across the state. The week brings entrepreneurs, local leaders, and community members together. More at alaska.startupweek.co.
This message is sponsored by Alaska Startup Week. Funding for Talk of Alaska was made possible in part by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and listeners just like you. Thank you.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Today we're talking about ways to connect with community over the holiday season to help those in need and just help build stronger networks. You can join this conversation by calling us at 550-8422 in Anchorage or 1-800-478-8255 statewide. Joining us now in the studio, in addition to Jim Baldwin from the Food Bank of Alaska, we also have Alan Budahl, who's the Executive Director of Lutheran Social Services. Thank you for joining us, Alan.
Thank you, Anne.
And on the line for a little bit longer, we have Lisa Aquino, who is the Director of Catholic Social Services here in Anchorage. Lisa, thanks for joining us. Before we let you go, are there other things, other programs that you think people should be aware of during this season, ways that they could either give back or get support?
Absolutely. I think in terms of giving back, I'll start there. At Catholic Social Services, we try to have lots of ways for individuals and groups to connect with people in need in the community. So I just encourage you to go to our website. We have wish lists, and then we have a thing called Helping Holidays where we can pair you with a family and get gifts. We also are doing a new project because we're focusing so much on moving people who are experiencing homelessness into housing, so people can donate bins that are like a move-in kit that have all the things that you might need when you first move into a place to live, like cleaning supplies and towels, etc. So there's lots of ways that you can give back like that. I mentioned volunteering before, and I can't say that enough. Right now, especially if there's musicians out there, we would love to connect with you, and we invite you to come to our shelters and share music. We're trying to build more opportunities for the people we serve to just enjoy the holidays and connect with others, and music is such a great way to do that. So please give us a call at Catholic Social Services if that's something. And then most importantly, for those in need out there, for those looking for connection, I just encourage you to reach out to our services, reach out to your neighbors. We all want to help each other at this time of year, and I know that the darkness and can be so challenging, and I know that this time of year also always brings up memories, and some of them are really wonderful memories and some of them aren't, but I just want everybody out there to know that we in Anchorage are here for you, and we love you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Have a great rest of your day. So, Alan, thank you for joining us in the studios. You're with Lutheran Social Services. Can you tell us a little bit about what sorts of things you do?
Well, Lutheran Social Services have been in operation since 1973. We have a full food pantry. We're one of the mobile food pantry sites for the food bank. We have direct assistance. We help people with driver's license, state IDs, clothing vouchers. And then we also have medical transportation for those who do not have a ride to medical therapy appointments. And we are also a program of stranded rural Alaskans. So anyone who is medevaced into Anchorage that is not on Medicaid or does not have insurance, they do not have a ride home. So that's one of the things our agency does, is help with transportation back to rural Alaska. We also have two housing units, one for single homeless men, a transitional living program, and then we have another one for women with long-term behavior health issues.
All right. Thanks for giving us the rundown.
Alan's one of our best partners. We love Alan.
Good to hear.
He does great work over there.
Thank you, Jim.
There are a number of of programs that are specifically targeted to the holidays, like the gift and Thanksgiving blessings. And I would love to get into the details of those. But before we do, I want to hop back onto the phones and talk to Martha from Anchorage. Martha, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to note, you had mentioned about what a hard time of year this can be for people around the holidays, and the Anchorage Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has a special service called Blue Christmas that recognizes that, and it's a contemplative service where it's open to the community, and it's followed by just a simple bread and soup supper, but wanted to let people know that if they're feeling blue around the holidays, whether loss of loved ones or being far away or just feeling lonely around it, that it's an opportunity that people have to come, and we provide the service in conjunction with hospice as well.
Wow. And when is the service?
It's on December 5th at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
And where is the church?
It's in Airport Heights. It's on 18th Street. I'm sorry, I don't have the address.
That's all right.
The website is anchorageuuf.org.
Why did you start offering this service?
We offered it because although there are lots of things to celebrate around the holidays, there's often a sort of an undertone for many people. They may have lost family members during the year or many years ago. As people noticed, it can also be a dark and cold time of year, and a lot of people are living a long way away from their families or have suffered loss for some reason. So we've done it for many years now.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling in and letting people know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And for anybody else who knows of different opportunities, please join us and let the community and the state know. You can call us at 550-8422 or 1-800-478-8255. So one of the great opportunities that's coming up throughout Anchorage and also the Valley as well, right?
Correct.
Is Thanksgiving Blessing. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Well, Thanksgiving Blessing has really changed over the years. It started out with just delivering to a small amount of homes, and it's grown into this citywide and valleywide now too event where we are providing Thanksgiving meal for anyone who wishes to just come, show up, and fill out a small registration form and we'll send them on their way with everything that's needed to make a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. This will be my first day on the job in 2009 was Thanksgiving Blessing. and I kept wondering, what did I get myself into?
Baptism by fire, huh?
Right, exactly. And, it's such a joy to be part of it. And, you know, we have a wonderful community that gives a lot of in-kind donations and volunteer their time so that we can do these type of events in our community and make people's holidays that much brighter.
I've been to one of these, and it's like people show up and, you know, they talk with other people in line, and then they can get a turkey and they can choose their vegetables and they, like, get everything it takes to assemble a meal. Mm-hmm. How in the world do you make that possible through the food bank?
Well,
I mean, that's a lot of turkeys.
It starts back in March.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We have to order the turkeys back in March because I guess they have to grow the turkeys.
They are living creatures, yes.
So our operations staff does a fantastic job preparing and planning. This starts, like I said, in March when we had to order, 16,000 turkeys.
16,000?
16,000 turkeys is what we're planning to distribute this holiday season between the Thanksgiving Blessing and the Holiday Gift Program. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts. And then throughout the months leading up to it, it's coordinating with partners like Lutheran Social Services and the others, understanding, okay, we have six sites in the Anchorage area and in another six sites in the Valley. So meeting with those organizations, planning ahead, trying to put the menu items together, understanding the logistics. So it's a very complex behind the scenes. It doesn't just magically happen. Which Alan can attest to. a lot of work goes into the planning process. But on the day, there's always going to be glitches. There's always going to be things. You're going to run out of food. And we always have extra food back at the warehouse. And we can resupply these sites if they start to get a little bit low. But you just never know how many people are going to show up at each individual site.
And for people to get there, transportation's an issue in this city. Is there a way to help people get to the site to pick it up?
Unfortunately, there isn't. We rely, and quite a few of the sites are on the people mover system route, but others really rely on friends and family, neighbors, to help them get there. The first year, my first year, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was someone came running into the door saying, "There's a lady in labor out here, and she won't leave to go to the hospital until she gets her turkey. She has to have a turkey for her family." And I said, "Okay, well, bring her in, and we'll set her down." And I said, "You know, how did you get here?" And she says, "Well, my neighbor drove me." And I said, "How are you getting to the hospital? Should I call the ambulance?" And she said, "No. My neighbor will drive me to the hospital. Just give me my turkey so I know I have it." And so we quickly put together a box and a basket and threw it in the trunk and said, "Please get her to the hospital." And she followed up a few days later and had a beautiful baby girl and was able to be home to cook Thanksgiving dinner for her family. So you never know. It's always a surprise. And, you know, we get to see people that we know, people that we serve. It's a time, you know, for those of us who are in the business to, even though it's a very hectic time for us, it gives us a lot of joy and we get so many heartfelt thanks, from people. That's why we do it.
And do you, when is Thanksgiving Blessing this year?
It is on Monday, November 19th.
Okay.
It's 6 sites throughout Anchorage, in Eagle River. And the sites vary, and you find your site by your zip code. And you can go to 211. You can call 211, visit the food bank website, and find what location is closest to you.
Okay. And we'll put links to that up on our website, alaskapublic.org,
right,
as well. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of your calls and more of your ideas on Talk of Alaska.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Open enrollment for health insurance coverage for 2019 through the individual market runs from November 1st through December 15th. Don't go uninsured. Due to plan changes for 2019, even if you have coverage now, you should re-enroll and select the plan that meets your needs and budget. With the high cost of medical care, going without health insurance is just too risky. Go to healthcare.gov to enroll before it's too late. This message sponsored by the Alaska Division of Insurance.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Today we're talking about ways to help other folks in need over the holidays. Tonight we will be having a special Talk of Alaska. It's election night here and around the country. From 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. we'll be taking your calls and your emails at the same numbers, 550-8422 and 1-800-478-8255. That's special elections coverage tonight from 9 to 11. But for right now, we're not going to focus on the elections. We're going to focus on ways to connect with community over the holidays. And we have a call on the line. We have Kristen from Anchor Point. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Oh, thank you. I was just wondering, with Amazon now buying up Whole Foods and getting into the shipment, buying and selling wholesale and retail of foods, has there been any approached by the food banks of Alaska or by Amazon itself to get them involved in the distribution of food during the holidays?
We have not done it during the holidays. That's a really good idea. I'll have to share that with my staff. But I know that we were able to use Amazon to provide food out into one of the rural communities, and I can't remember what it was. There was a need on the rural community, so we were able to acquire food from Amazon and have it directly shipped to a rural community. But I don't have the details on how that worked, but I'll have to look into that to see how they can't get more involved during the holidays and throughout the year.
When you use Amazon, is there any sort of discount, or are you buying at retail prices?
Well, it's whatever they're offering, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks very much for your question, Kristen.
Thank you.
And we have on the line from Glen Allen. We have TJ on the line from Glen Allen. TJ, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, you guys. I was listening to a lady that said we had 57 villages that all move into Bethel in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of cool that they have a place to go, and there's an airport there, and if they wanted to go to Reno or Vegas, it would be a good idea to try someplace warm. But when they move out of a village, they're probably leaving behind a place with no bathroom. Okay, so you can give a guy a turkey or some sliced carrots. I think that's great. I think what I would want the guy to have, if you came to my town to help us, I would want you to have a water tank and a hot water heater and a bathroom of your own. And I think it's time we started talking about the equipment that anybody can install this stuff. It's easy. A guy needs to take a shower, take a bath. He needs to take care of his kids and not have about 7 people move in every Saturday morning. You know, and they do that. They go out drinking, they come to my house, and they want to stay overnight, and I don't want to have the kids there with all these strangers in the morning. So it's a thing about equipment, you know, that is not only... we're not trying to say they're good or bad. I don't want to manage their time. I don't want to say, well, you have to wait until afternoon to take a bath, because that's the guy who's going to end up in Bethel looking for a place to sleep and eat and
so you're just
cook.
You're suggesting that a longer-term solution as opposed to these very short-term immediate solutions would be to get more facilities available.
No, I'm talking about it's 24 hours. In the next day, what can I do to help a guy get a water tank, a hot water heater, a sink, a toilet, 6-inch water pipe,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a sewer system? So anyway, that's where I'm at. What do you say?
Okay. So you're looking at longer-term solutions.
Well,
I mean,
when there was a flu epidemic and the Catholics moved up here and Protestants, and they built beautiful homes for the kids, and they had bathrooms. Okay, now this is real. I mean, how many bathrooms for how many people? Remember the shirt factory that all the women were jumping off the 7th story? They had one bathroom for like 30 women?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's control, you know. So the idea is more bathrooms, more freedom, more of your own schedule.
All right. Do either of you know of any programs where people are trying to establish more facilities, more bathrooms in rural areas? Or is that, I mean, that's a long-term problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not familiar with any. As it comes to disaster, mm-hmm. I'm the coordinator for Lutheran Disaster Response in the Western Region. And we, of course, when we are responding to disasters and that is a big problem. And so we do have facilities that are able to be mobilized, but they're, again, they're on wheels and you need a highway system. And so logistically, I don't know, this is a tough question to answer, just because I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I think what he was probably referring to is that, you know, providing food out there in rural Alaska is wonderful, feeding people, but if they don't have the basic infrastructure of running water, bathrooms, and everything else, that, you know, how can that support that community wherever it might be?
Honestly, it's a conversation worth devoting hours to rather
right.
than a few moments. TJ, thank you for your call and thank you for your concerns. John from Anchorage is on the line. John, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hello. I'm calling because I'd like to suggest that funding could be made more universal by going to a system like the Alaska Media system operates, where you can make monthly donations. Of course, the number of groups you're working with, it would be difficult to transfer the funds around, but it might be a good way to get organized and have funding that would be more consistent over the year. I was just curious as to what you think about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, funding's a challenge for all of us, trying to provide the nonprofit services that we all do, all the nonprofits, and we're very fortunate to have a very generous community. But yeah, it is a challenge knowing, you know, the cycle of giving at this time of year. I'm sure it's the same for Alan, you know, November and December are big giving months, but we need, you know, financial support throughout the year. We have, you know, the Pick, Click, Give program where people can contribute and identify their charities, but having that steady, reliable funding stream throughout the year is the challenge for all of us.
Do you have what he was referring to is Alaska. Public media has sustainable donors, and like people just give on reoccurring monthly programs.
The Food Bank of Alaska does. So we have quite a few that have signed up and become sustaining donors, where it's just an automatic contribution every month. If everybody did that, it would certainly make life a little bit easier and predictable. But we understand that there are, you know, some that can't do that.
You know, and likewise, there's other programs like United Way, and we are greatly sponsored by United Way, and people who give through their workplace. We give thanks for that.
You're referring to the payroll deduction through the workplace, right?
Yep. And
wait, so people can just sign up to automatically
give an hour of their pay or more, be deducted from their paycheck, and that is then distributed through United Way.
And every organization does this, or they have to have a relationship with United Way?
Well, it's a relationship that's developed, and many companies in Anchorage and throughout Alaska have relationships with their United Way. And the campaign is going on right now. It started September 1, goes through the end of the year. And these will be contributions that people will be taken out of their paycheck for 2019. Then we can apply for grants, and if people designate the food bank or designate Lutheran Social Services, those dollars come to us.
All right. Are there, because there is this glut of donations at this time of year, do either of your organizations have systems in place where you're like, okay, we expect November, December, we'll get X amount, so let's actually budget it out throughout the entire year instead?
To the best of our ability, we just never know until the holidays are over how generous people were. And, you know, historically, they've always come through. This is the time where people are much more generous. They're giving. Obviously, the PFDs just got distributed in October. Those charities that received those funds have received them. But I think, you know, one of the things is trying to spread it out throughout the year. You know, that's what awareness, you know, that the leaner months in the spring and the summer when people are preoccupied with other activities and the thought of the holidays fades away, we still need the financial support.
So you'll have to budget just like everybody else.
You know, and when you run a food pantry, you take a look at the shelves are really stocked right now at the food bank and at our food pantry at Lutheran Social Services. But come January, it's a different story. So we try to stock up as much as we can now because we know January, February, March are lean times. And that quite often is when people need help the most. So it's something that we have to take a look at in our budgeting and in everything is we're not so much worried about the budget right now. We're worried about the budget from January to May.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here. This has been Talk of Alaska. My guests today were Jim Baldwin, the CEO of the Food Bank of Alaska, Alan Bodall, the Executive Director of Lutheran Social Services, and Lisa Aquino, Executive Director of Catholic Social Services. Remember, we will be back again tonight for a special elections edition from 9 to 11 p.m. You can call us at 1-800-478-8255 to talk about this year's elections. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. Thanks for joining us.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Did you know a single person who makes less than $60,720 per year may be eligible for federal tax credits to help pay health insurance premium costs? If you need health insurance for 2019, you have a limited time to sign up. Open enrollment for 2019 plans is just 6 weeks from November 1st through December 15th. Nobody can predict when they will have an accident or get really sick. If you don't have coverage, it could be financially devastating. Protect your future and sign up at healthcare.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Division of Insurance. This program is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400. This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.